You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I think there are a lot of innocent and good people who think Black Lives Matters just means, you know, we should be taking care of our black citizens and making sure that they're not discriminated against.
Absolutely.
And that's noble and laudable. Yeah. But we have an organization that is taking advantage of the fact that people don't really know what's behind a Marxist-driven organization.
July the 2nd, 2020. The words of HUD Secretary Dr. Carson. You're going to hear from him later over the next 2 hours on what Black Lives Matter really is. And his point being, if you really want to know what drives a person, what creates their attitude, their opinions, and their direction in life, it is not skin color. He is a neurosurgeon. You'll want to hear his remarks a little bit later. Now, speaking of what Black Lives Matter is often tied to, in fact, the original founders admit they are Marxist-trained and admit they're Marxist. And, of course, they've had ties and connections to Antifa all of this time. We know that. And now we've got word coming out that the federal agents have arrested the ringleader in the attack on the Andrew Jackson statue by the White House. He's been arrested. No problems arresting him. But they say this guy was in a leadership role and connected to Antifa the night they were trying to bring down that statue. One law enforcement official says they were very organized. This guy was on top of the statue directing everyone. They had acid, chisels, straps, a human chain preventing police from getting to the statue. Why would they want to tear down that? Well, it's, again, just a matter of Antifa wanting to destroy anything and everything in this nation. We are at a crisis point going into this 4th of July. You need to keep that in mind. Oh, one side point before we move on. Walmart just announced it will stop selling All Lives Matter products on its website. You want to buy All Lives Matter from Walmart? Not going to be available anymore. Black Lives Matter? Yes. You know what they're doing in Virginia? The Democrats want to reduce charges. If you assault a police officer, it is currently a felony. They want to make it just a misdemeanor, not a big deal. We're going to focus on what's happening across our nation, on the attacks on police, not only physically and verbally, but reductions in money so they can do their job effectively. And we'll talk about who's going to be hurt the most when that goes down. We do have some new job numbers out. Great numbers, adding 4.8 million jobs in July. Unemployment falling to 11.1%. Both numbers, better than expected. You'll want to hear from President Trump on that, and we'll detail some of the sectors. In fact, some of you right now might have a job that you didn't have a week ago or even last month because we're beginning to reopen the economy. And yet, we've got to be careful. The latest report on COVID-19, 50,000 new cases confirmed in one day. That's a record high. But that doesn't mean deaths. That just means confirmed. We've already been told as we do more testing, we're going to find more cases. And in fact, it's estimated even by the CDC, 10% of the U.S. population, 20 to 30 million plus, could have COVID-19, and they're doing just fine. We still want to take precautions. You make a determination in some areas. You may or may not choose to wear a mask. That'd be your decision at that point. Others are insisting you do it, and in some cases, cities and counties are making mandates. If you're in public places or even a business, you must wear a mask. You know what some respond to on the other side? I think I'm smart enough to know if I want the mask or not. Do you want to let the American citizen make some decisions? Or you want to mandate everything? We'll look at that issue. Oh, please, Bear with me here for a moment of silence. A moment of silence. Why did I call for a moment of silence? Well, Chad Chop has been destroyed in Seattle. It's over. It's all over. All of those folks who gathered in that zone were going to hug their own little community. They had already started planting a garden. Remember? A garden. How much did they think they were going to grow in 2 weeks, 4 weeks, and now they're not even going to get a chance? That garden is dead. The whole issue is dead, but not entirely. They will rear their head again. As I said, going into this 4th of July, we are in a delicate situation in this nation. You don't want to miss the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality and lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
United States economy added almost 5 million jobs in the month of June, shattering all expectations. This is the largest monthly jobs gain in the history of our country. The unemployment rate fell by more than 2 percentage points, down to just about 11%.
And both of those are greater than expected. That's President Trump today touting, praising what we've been able to do. The economy was in such great shape before COVID-19, China virus, came to our shores. And we've had to deal with it. And we've had a lot of businesses closed down. And now we're trying to reopen. And in some cases, reconsiderations, backing down some of the openings, or at least changing them a little bit. New York City, last report, New York City, they do not have full restaurant businesses open. You can dine outside if they have an area for it, or you can pick up. But across much of the nation, they have now allowed restaurants to start with reduced capacity allowed. And for restaurants who can't continue to operate like that, they're shuttering their doors. They cannot open at this point. COVID-19 is still a very real deal. We're going to get to that in more detail a little bit later in this same hour. But I'm glad to see these kinds of numbers because it shows we can get this economy back on track a little faster than what we hope. Will there be some stall out, maybe some slippage? There certainly could be. And among many of those who have suffered the most, there is great news. Listen to President Trump detail the sectors and how jobs are suddenly available when they weren't.
In June, we added 2.1 million leisure and hospitality jobs, 740,000 retail jobs, 568,000 education and healthcare jobs, 357,000 service jobs. These are all historic numbers. And 356,000 manufacturing jobs. And manufacturing looks like it's ready to really take off at a level that it's never been before, and a lot of that has to do with our trade policy, because we're bringing manufacturing back to our country, and these take a long time to get going, and they're now going. So these are historic numbers. I'm really happy when I see 356,000 manufacturing jobs, and that's just a small number compared to what it will be soon because of our great trade deals.
I agree. I think it's going to get only bigger. And when you have manufacturing underway, then you've got every service-related ripple effect that helps manufacturing, tooling, machinists, delivery, supplies. I mean, it's a cycle you're familiar with, regardless of what business you're in. I mean, if you have a restaurant, you got to have potatoes delivered to you. And potato farmers are going to be glad to see this also, because they have been dumping tons and tons and just burying them because restaurants have been closed down. They are a high use of them. Fast food franchises, the same thing. And now getting heavy industry going with manufacturing, going to create more jobs. This is all good. And by the way, there's a new survey out by Rasmussen that finds the overwhelming majority of Black Americans say the U.S. does not need to import more foreign workers to fill jobs. They say there is no labor shortage of willing and available U.S. workers. We have at this point, before this update, 40 million Americans unemployed or underemployed. They all want full-time work because many have had their hours cut back at the businesses as they try to sustain to some extent. I wanted to give you all that good, positive news because I want you to keep that in mind as we go into the 4th of July holiday. And you're going to see a lot more people and businesses open, and that is great. I had a road trip. I had to rush down to near Atlanta last weekend in one day and come right back. And in the process, I'm watching all of the hotels along the roadway, the interstate. Cars are stacked all over those lots. That means folks are moving again. They are going back to hotels, and that means service jobs for those folks. I looked at the restaurants along the way and the truck stops. It's an amazing story. It is what we should have been seeing all along, but it had been pulled back because of COVID-19. All right, we're going to spend more on COVID-19 a little bit later, but I want to refocus again on Seattle because they finally shut down Chop Chaz. Of course, Republicans say, well, it's coming a little late, of course, this is coming after a death and injuries and shootings, five different shootings, two deaths in that 3 weeks, as the residents, I should say those who wanted to take control of that part of Seattle, some not all residents, rushed in, took control of a six-block area, then cut it back to three-block area, and would not allow cops in. Senate Republicans pointing out what we all agree. Senate Leader McConnell saying, finally, 20-some days and several deaths too late. The rule of law must not fade in and out with the fashions of the radical left. Senator Cruz of Texas, boy, nation states seem to be lasting shorter and shorter. And he said, is it still the summer of love? He's referencing the quote from the mayor, Durkin, of Seattle. Remember, she said, listen, we are just going to look at this as kind of a street fest when it all began. We have a lot of these on a routine basis. That's what we do up here. And that's what you're expecting. And she went on to say that it was really going to be nice and everything. And it might end up being a long time. If it is, we'll look at it as a summer of love. Remember that term? And if you watch the mainstream media during that time, they found very little bad to say about the Chop or Chaz zone. Nothing really bad. They were looking for all the best stuff. The Seattle Times joining in with it. One of the reporters saying, let me see, let me get the quote here. This is pretty interesting. The reporter went on the scene and said, the smells like the 4th of July, people sharing hot dogs on curbside grills, a delightful odor over the area. And then a Seattle Times business reporter praising the community garden. That was on June 13th. They took it over June 8th. By June 13th, they had started a garden. And he praised them, saying the demonstrators looked to advance the goals of the newest tourist action. And dozens of people with rakes and wheelbarrows spreading topsoil and chicken manure in newly planted gardens. He was spreading more than chicken manure, wasn't he? And he said others were gathering in small groups to discuss plans for no-till farming, fundraising for medical supplies. They actually thought they're going to be there long enough for their crops to grow. Or maybe they thought, we put a garden in tonight, and tomorrow we come back, voila, we got crops. We got corn up to our eyes, growing that high. We've got everything else popping out of the ground, and we'll have all of our food. We won't need to rely on anyone. Of course, they were still relying on the city of Seattle utilities, electricity, and water. But then they were trying to declare, we are separate. We are now our own nation. And, of course, when the violence would come at night, the mainstream media tried to ignore it. On June 22nd, according to Newsbusters investigation, CBS Evening News, NBC Nightly News, both skipped coverage of that deadly shooting inside CHOP. Didn't even report on it. Another study conducted June 23rd indicated evening newscasts on ABC, CBS, and NBC all ignored another shooting in the area. Media Research news analyst points out the networks had been actively trying to protect the encampment's radicals from criticism. First, they turned a blind eye altogether. And when they had no choice but to cover the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, as it was called at the time, they downplayed the craziness and they provided cover. And when the shooting and killing started, they tried to cover it up. They refused to report on the black teen who was shot and killed in the zone last Saturday. Whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We had a black teenager killed? Well, I knew we had somebody killed inside the zone. I thought no cops were allowed. How was a black teenager killed inside the CHOP zone if no cops were in there? Maybe they needed cops in there to help protect that young man. We'll never know, will we? Because police were not allowed to get to the scene. They couldn't get close enough to the scene to render any aid to that teenager or another one who was shot. They couldn't get close enough to start investigating who did the shooting because the mob inside the CHOP Chaz area prevented police from getting in. Is it possible? I'm raising a question again. Is it possible? I'm slowing down. I'll be a little more calm. I'm sorry. I just thought about this black teenager killed inside CHOP. That's someone's child that they thought they wanted to go and take part in this for whatever reason. I'm not going to get into that part of the debate. I mean, they lost someone dear to them. There's another part to that story I'll get to in a moment. But police were not allowed in there. So, one, you can't blame the police. And two, maybe if police had been there, it never would have happened. I don't know, but we had to assume if police are there, it might have helped. You don't want to assume that? That's fine. But the other question being, if police had been on the scene and would have allowed in, maybe they could have gotten faster aid or treated the teenager on the scene and he would not have died. What they had to some of the self-appointed medic teams inside CHOP rush that teen and the other to the hospital. As I said, then they've had a second death. Back to that first teenager killed in Seattle. His father last night was on Fox News Channel with Hannity. And he was obviously upset. And he said, you know, here's the other thing. I didn't learn about my son's death from Seattle. Nobody in Seattle has reached out to me. He said, except for a recent contact from the police. I haven't heard any details. I only learned about it as some of my son's friends called to tell me. He said, the only way I learned about it was through two of his friends who weren't from Seattle. The Seattle Police Department didn't come to me. And he hadn't heard from anyone, including the city's mayor. Speaking of the city's mayor, you know, once you decide to put an end to all of this, that's when protesters, as she began to say, we're going to shove them out, they showed up at her house, protesting at her house. Oh, no, 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 no. And they tried to storm her office at Capitol and City Council Hall. No, no, no. Now you're violating me. And now she's sending an email to the city council president wanting one of the councilwomen to be expelled. One of them who was supporting CHOP Chaz, well, she was as well. But the Seattle mayor says, we need to punish or expel a member for disorderly or otherwise contemptuous behavior. And in that case, what did that council member do? That council member was the one who led the protest at the mayor's home. It's supposed to be a secret location, they say, due to state confidentiality program and safety concerns. So, the city councilwoman led protesters to the mayor's home and delivered a speech. Now the mayor's worried and concerned. And you know they had cops around her house and protecting her. No cop zone there was not going to work. Then she suddenly gets concerned. That tells me that she was never concerned about the citizens of Seattle, the ones who lived in that zone, that tried to work in that zone, that had businesses in that zone. She didn't want the cops to go in. She's willing to let them do what they wanted at that time. Even after 1 weekend of shooting and the death, they continued. She said, I want you to move out. They didn't, and she didn't make any effort. And then when they did move in, they ran back inside the police precinct, which someone had told police to abandon. The police chief says, I didn't give the order. I think the mayor did, but she's never admitted to it. But what we do see is the hypocrisy again. If you go attack the leaders of these groups and those who support them, like the mayor, well, suddenly, no. We're not going to have that anymore. We're putting an end to it. All right. We'll have more on that in the next hour as we talk about what's going on underway right now to hurt police enforcement across the nation. But I do want to turn my attention to COVID-19 when we continue.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
I could be holding you tonight. I could quit doing wrong and start doing right. You don't care about what I think. Think I'll just stay here and drink.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I do think the biggest story that CNN can focus on right now, and they're doing it, Donald Trump not wearing a mask again. He's out here not wearing a mask, and he's not setting a good example for everyone. The president has said, and in fact, even again today, I'm all for masks. Now, I'm going to wear one if I'm in a tight situation with other people. He said most of those who come around me are kept at a distance, and they're not allowed to get close, but if it's a tighter situation, I'll wear a mask. He said I probably look like the Lone Ranger with one on. Do you wear a mask? You make your own decision? Or are you one of these, if the president's got a mask on, I've got to wear it. Or if he doesn't have it, I don't want to wear it. I'm not going to. Are you really that shallow? A lot of the Dems think you are, that you don't know how to think for yourself, because if you see President Trump without a mask, you think, we don't need no stinking mask. There are cases where when you're in certain areas, you might consider to wear one, and other cases not. And numerous experts have also said, the mask that most of us have, the cloth-type mask, the little paper mask, they're really only good for one usage, and they're not that highly effective. If you're really concerned, you could be getting a full specialized mask, and then you'd have to change the filter on a continuous basis. I don't see any reporters or NBC or CNN and the rest of them wearing those kinds of masks if they're so concerned about it. But you've got Jim Acosta accosting Acosta from CNN, once again trying to make himself the story. He said, you know, the president said he's all for masks, but so far he hasn't really taken any steps to reflect that. How can he say that? Well, again, Jim Acosta accosting Acosta of CNN and NN thinks you're so stupid, you will only do what you see the president do. Doesn't it go back to the most basic thing all of us heard from our mothers when growing up? I suppose if your friends jumped off a cliff, you would too. Oh, yeah. That's kind of where we were, right, as kids? I think you're a little smarter than that. Now, there are all kinds of studies about the mask. I would advise you to, one, use your common sense. If you have any kind of thing that might make you vulnerable, asthma and so forth, you should probably wear a mask. But again, that's you. And if you're in a mixed group of numerous people, especially people you don't know, probably a good idea. If you fail to do it and you come down with COVID, who are you going to blame? You're going to blame Trump? Are you going to blame Trump, really? That's what the left wants you to do. Anybody that comes down with COVID-19 because they didn't have a mask, it's because Trump told you not to wear one. He didn't tell you not to wear one. He says, this is why I do what I do when I do. But the left just thinks that's such a great battle cry, we've got to do it. I mean, I'm looking at an article written by one of their analysts at CNN, and it's titled, Trump's Anti-Mask Crusade is Coming Back to Bite Him. Why? Well, because they say it is. Well, what about shutting down some of the economy and reopening it and then shutting it down again? I want you to hear from the governor of Florida and his thoughts about doing so as we go forward and spend more time in the next segment focusing specifically on COVID-19 and what's happening around the nation. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We're not going back, closing things. I don't think that really is what's driving it. I mean, people going to business is not what's driving it. We're open. We know who we need to protect. Most of the folks in those younger demographics, although we want them to be mindful of what's going on, are just simply much, much less at risk than the folks who are in those older age groups.
That is Florida Governor Ron DeSantis saying we're not going to go back and start shutting down again. Not going to. Now, within the state, there are businesses that are making their own voluntary decision. We're going to close up for a period of time. And some beaches, I've been getting conflicting information on this one. I can't find a clear definition of what they're doing on the beaches. Some might be opened in a city area. Some might not be. Some you have to wear a mask at all times, even if you're on the beach. Unless you're in the water, it's going to be a case-by-case, I would imagine, for several folks at this point. And July 4th holiday weekend, a lot of folks want to go to the beach. They had in Florida more than 10,000 new cases in just one day. So obviously, they know that they need to have some precautions in place. So what the governor and his team have come up with in Florida, the Florida Surgeon General, reminding all Floridians to protect the vulnerable by avoiding the three C's. They're putting out a notice to that. The three C's. Avoid closed spaces. Avoid crowded places. Avoid close contact settings. And by wearing a mask in public if you're going to be there. That's voluntary on a lot of parts of the mask. But in some of those places, if you are inside, they're probably going to demand you wear a mask. It's their business. You probably should do that. And it's not just for you. It's for the others that keep them safe as well. But the idea of telling states that you have to have a mandate, you must order everyone to wear a mask, and you must do it right away. Well, the states are again making some of their own decisions. McDonald's has already decided that it is going to close and at least delay opening its dining rooms for 3 weeks across the country, as we're seeing a rising number of cases, COVID-19. Now, again, I want to remind you, the rising number they're reporting is based upon testing showing folks with COVID-19. It's not necessarily based on hospitalizations. It is not necessarily based at all upon deaths, just an increased number showing they have COVID-19. But I remind you, even the CDC stated a couple of weeks ago, out of our 330 million Americans we have in this country, probably 10% of the population, up to 10%, might have COVID-19 symptoms and don't display them in any way. They're not contagious, won't pass them along. If you haven't had a test, you don't know if you have it or not. You get a test today. What about tomorrow evening? Did you pick it up somewhere in that meantime? But when it comes to directions and orders from the government, well, Senator Scott, also Florida, who had been governor of Florida at one time, has his answer.
People are smart. Give them good information. Tell them where there's the spread of the virus, the places they're at risk. If you told me a restaurant has had patients or employees with coronavirus, I'll probably avoid it for a while. So give us information, but you don't have to tell me to wear a mask. You don't have to, you know, tell me to shut things down. Give me more information.
More information. That's really what we should ask every time. Give me more information. Airlines, in some cases, have told passengers, if you're not wearing a mask, you will not be allowed on the plane. And if you're on the plane, you must keep the mask on. Delta, one of the latest, announcing bans for any passengers who would not comply with wearing a mask. They say, we've only had a few so far. American Airlines, the industry leader, had taken steps to ban at least one passenger. And here's the other thing. The airlines are not communicating back and forth. For instance, if you get banned by Delta, can you then jump on an American Airlines or some other flight where maybe they're not going to be enforcing that? Because your name's not going to be passed to the next airline. United Airlines did last week announce a policy to ban passengers from future flights who do not comply with their mask requirement. I would think if I'm on an airline in a closed space like that for any period of time, I'm going to wear a mask. Will it be 100% effective? Unless I have a full COVID-19 special butcher, butkin, money, all the titles you can put on it to make it perfect, bubble boy type mask. No, there's no guarantee. But probably would be at least some help, don't you think? What we have had to battle, though, is the hypocrisy that exists within the left. And it's given additional fuel by the leftist media. And that's the hypocrisy. Because when you have Democrats saying, you can't go to church services, you can't do this, you can't gather in large groups, but we will allow protests in the streets. Florida Senator Scott says, yep, that's hypocrisy.
But we need to open our economy, get people back to work. And by the way, the Democrats act like, oh, it's okay to protest, but you can't go to church. I mean, you've got CDC and WHO have been, you know, they've not been consistent with their message. We've got to be very consistent with their message and talk to people. People are smart. They'll make good decisions. Trust us.
Yeah, but the Democrats don't think we're smart enough and that we can't be trusted. New York City. A ruling came down from a U.S. district judge referencing Mayor de Blasio. The judge ruled that Mayor de Blasio, and I'm quoting some of the wording from the ruling, the mayor openly discouraged religious gatherings, threatened religious worshipers, and sent a clear message that mass protests are deserving of preferential treatment. In other words, the mayor was saying, yeah, you cannot gather. If you show up for a funeral, I will have you all arrested. You go to a religious service, we'll close it down, we'll arrest you. I mean, that was the threat, and very direct threat. But you can protest in the street till the cows come home, as we used to say in the South. They don't care. That was the ruling of a judge saying, De Blasio, you have openly discouraged religious gatherings, threatened religious worshipers, and sent a clear message that mass protests are observing a preferential treatment. Well, first of all, De Blasio takes offense with that ruling from the judge.
Just wrong. We worked with the religious leadership of this city for months, Cardinal Dolan in the Catholic Church and so many other religious leaders, who were in full agreement that it was not time to bring back religious services because of the danger it would cause to their congregants.
So, riddle me this. He met with all these religious leaders, including Cardinal Dolan, and they all decided it's not a good time to open for our full religious services because it might be a danger to our congregants. So you're telling me, Mayor, that the religious leaders are smart enough to make their own decision if they're going to open or not, right? Let them make the decision rather than you putting an order into effect. And if they're that smart, you don't need to do any orders. And in fact, they made themselves. We're closing the doors, not going to open it at this point. We hope you continue to pray at your home and your wherever you are. God is everywhere. You don't have to be here in the service. We'd like to have you, but we can't do it right now. So without an organized service, please continue to keep the faith. So the mayor said, we worked with all of them, and we all agreed to keep it closed. Well, if they actually had that agreement, I would have thought they would have made their own decision. We're going to make a decision not to open. So anyway, what about the differences when it comes to the judge's statement that the mayor openly discouraged religious gatherings and threatened religious worshipers and yet sent a clear message, mass protests deserve preferential treatment?
The protests were an entirely different reality, a national phenomenon that was not something that the government could just say, you know, go away. It's something that really came from the grassroots. And obviously had profound meaning, and we're all acting on the meaning of those protests. But it's really apples and oranges.
Apples and oranges, and I think a few nuts thrown in the way he described it. Yes, it's been profound and has a meaning for our nation, and to pay attention to it. I'm all in favor of that. But him trying to say it's fine for them to be in the streets doing this because it's a grassroots thing and something the government can't stop. Yes, the government can. And yet it's First Amendment rights. But First Amendment rights are your right to worship, right, as well. So they made a decision on which rights you're allowed to have and which you cannot have in the city of New York. No one out there buys that argument, that story, that excuse, that piece of fiction that letting protests happen in the streets is different than folks gathering in a church. You want to say, well, it's outside versus inside. Look at the numbers, the sheer numbers. Look at how many in the streets were not wearing masks. Look at how close contact they were continuously. You don't have to breathe it in. You can get it on your hand or any body part, and then if you touch that part of your body or you get it near your eye or mouth later on, the exposure's still there. That's why they say you should wash repeatedly, your hands repeatedly. But again, for the Democrats, let's don't try to do anything to stop these because this is the kind of thing that can destroy Donald Trump. Oh, I got something you want to hear in the next hour for sure. I thought about putting this first hour and I was kind of loaded up, so I'm going to hold it because it works better in the second hour. You're going to hear someone say that Donald Trump probably should just drop out of the race right now. Right now. I got something else I want to share when we come right back for this break. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Walking down the street, pretty woman, the kind I like to
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Let me share quickly with you a survey that was taken in North Carolina. And about 1,034 surveyed, and all but 100 of them said they voted in the 2016 presidential election. 35% of those identified themselves as Republicans, 35% as Democrats, 26% say they're independents. The question was referenced COVID-19 and how it's being handled in North Carolina. Was it a correct decision to resume dine-in services at restaurants in North Carolina? 49% said yes. 38% said no. The others undecided. Bars in North Carolina remain closed. You think bars should be allowed to reopen? 33% said yes. 53% said no. And do you usually wear a face mask when out shopping? 76% said yes. 24% said no. So they're making their own decisions, right? Are you worried or not worried about the current spread of coronavirus cases in North Carolina? 37% very worried. 24% worried. 26% just slightly worried. 13% not at all worried. And how do you rate the governor's handling of the outbreak in North Carolina? 53% approve. 34% disapprove. What about President Trump's handling? 41% approve. 51% disapprove. Now, I threw a lot of numbers at you, but the bottom line is, again, in a survey like this, you get the input of the citizens. And I think the citizens, even if they disagree with me or you, they have their own opinion and they can make their own decisions. And you have to keep in mind, when I'm giving an allowance even for some of the leftists to have an opinion and to be thoughtful and also have intelligence. I'm going to do that. But then I see a story like this and I think, what the? This is a Harvard graduate. A Connecticut woman who graduated from Harvard. I mean, that I think you would have to have something like that. She has a degree in government and psychology. And she had just gotten a job at Deloitte. She was really looking forward to it. Going to be a lot of good money, obviously. But then she put out on one of her accounts, her social media thing, that if you, let me see, she said, if you dare tell me all lives matter, I'll stab you. I'll stab you. Here's what she said. I'm a stabbing you. I'm sorry, not a stabbing. I'm a stab you. That's what it wrote. She wrote. I'm a stab you. And while you're struggling and bleeding out, I'm going to show you my paper cut and say, my cut matters too. In other words, don't tell her all lives matter. If you say that near her, she's going to stab you. Well, as a result, Deloitte decided we're going to pull that job offer. You're not going to be employed by us. We don't want anything to do with it. And she says, well, now it's a joke. Now she's trying to say, clearly it's a joke. See, that is the fallback for the leftists every time they get caught on something. I was joking. Give me a pass. And the left-stream media will do that for them. Now she's saying, I'm getting death threats, rape threats, violent threats. Now my future is entirely compromised. And why? You know who she's blaming? This should come as no surprise for you. Should come as no surprise. Here's a woman who says, the job I worked really hard to get and meant a lot to me has just called me and fired me because of everything. That being, I'm going to stab you if you say all lives matter. And I'll watch you bleed out and say, my cut matters too. You know who she's blaming? Not herself. Of course not. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Did someone force her to write those words and put them out on social media? And here's the other thing. When you write something like that on social media, you do know you have a chance to look at it before you hit send, generally, unless you're doing it live. No, she is blaming Trump supporters. Trump supporters, she say, took my job away from me. My future is entirely compromised because Trump supporters had decided to come for my life. But then she adds, I'm too strong for you. I'm too strong for any of you. It sucks, but doesn't suck as much as systemic racism. And I'm not going to stop using my platform to advocate for it. And I'm sorry, Deloitte, that you can't see it. You were cowardice enough to fight somebody who's going to make a change in the world, and it's going to have an impact. Okay, she made her point. She paid a price for it. You have to take responsibility for yourself, and you have to accept anything goes wrong, it's on you, right? Or if you're a member of the left, you can always say, it's not me, it's the Trump supporters. That does not cut either way. I don't care if you're on the left or the right. Especially who someone is a Harvard graduate. They should know better. Maybe they didn't learn common sense when they went to Harvard. Or better yet, in Harvard, they probably got away with that kind of stuff because it was acceptable. And that's the kind of education kids are getting in our institutes of higher learning at this point. All right, coming up in the next hour, as I said, you're going to hear from someone, and you're going to know him. You're going to know him right away. And he's saying, you know what? Look at the numbers right now. This man shouldn't even run for president. He should pull out right now. He should just say, I'm done. Can you imagine, based on my comments right then, and my inflection and my tone, can you imagine who it is? Take your best guess. You'll see in the next hour. And we're going to focus again on the impact of cutting police budgets, defunding police, and even trying to abolish them. Before we wrap up, let's make note of what's coming up this July 4th. We have a lot to go in the next hour. Please stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.